And in truth, I'm always encouraged to be here, and I hope that you can say the same. I appreciate mentioning me in your prayers, Gareth. I know that I need them, and I appreciate that very much, and that's encouraging to me. And I appreciate the fact that each and every one of you are here this evening. You could have been elsewhere. You could have been doing other things. But you've decided to be here, and I appreciate that. And I know that we each appreciate the effort that's put forth by each and every one to be here this evening. You know, when something is said to be common in the Bible, sometimes it's talking about the fact that something is mutually shared by others. So I'd like for us just for a moment of time this evening to think about that which is common in the Bible. The first one I want you to think about is found in the book of Acts chapter 2. All of these are just so very simple. As I was talking to Belvis and Ethan as we got together to practice the upcoming sermon that they're going to present, I made the point that sometimes a preacher just needs to know and just to read the text and get himself out of the way. This lesson is so simple that I've just got to let the Bible just speak for itself. And I appreciate the selection that Mark did in the song, Give Me the Bible. I'm just going to give you the Bible and give you what the Bible says about these things. And so you take your Bible out and follow along with me. In the book of Acts chapter 2, we understand that Peter has preached his first gospel sermon, as we may mention of in the lesson this morning. A great number of people obeyed. Now, what percentage of those that were gathered in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost on this occasion, what percentage of those obeyed, I don't know. But I do know that the Bible says about 3,000 people responded in obedience to the preaching that Peter did on that occasion. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 41, that they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then in verse 42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. They had things that were common, that were mutually shared among them. And when you continue to read, the Bible says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed, all that believed were together. Now watch this. And had all things common. And so I want to point out to you that the things that the text talks about were common with all of them. Now watch what the next verse says. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to not a church, but added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So I want to impress upon your mind that the Bible says that these Christians, these that had obeyed the gospel on this occasion in the city of Jerusalem, were together and had all things common. And they shared the things that they had. In fact, the Bible says that neither said any of them that the things that he had was his own, but distribution was made known among them. The Bible says that they sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men. The all men, by the way, the all is qualified by those who had obeyed the gospel on that occasion. Now, that doesn't mean that they sold what they had and distribution was made to everybody under the sun. God has never charged, by the way, the church to be a benevolent society to eradicate or alleviate worldwide poverty. The church was never instituted for that purpose. But they took care of the needs that arose by those that were among them. And they distributed these things as every man had need. Now I wonder if we have that type of attitude. And I've got to ask myself, as you do too, do I have the attitude that would say if my brother or sister has need of something, I'm willing to part with what I've got, that their need might be met? Would you be willing to do that?
I would.
You know, it's difficult in a materialistic society in which we live today, where folks on every hand seem to be married to what they've got. They don't want to give up what they have so many times. I appreciate that you'd be willing to do that. But we all ought to be willing to do that. The disciples in the New Testament were willing to do that. Would you be willing to open up your storehouse, as it were, and see things distributed from it to meet the needs of those that needed them? Now, I'm not talking about just because someone wanted it, but because they needed it. I hope that we could all answer in the affirmative that we would be willing to do that. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, the Bible points out here, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. Notice what he says. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Now here's getting down to the crux of it. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. You know who set the perfect example of that? Keep reading. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now what did he do? How did he set forth that example? Well, he says in verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, if Jesus had the attitude that a lot of people had so many times today, he would have never died that we might live. But it took the attitude that had to be off self and on others that he was willing to die. That wasn't easy. I can't even fathom what he went through. And I'm sure you can't either. But he did that because he thought of others instead of self, didn't he? And so things can be common, mutually shared together. But I also want us to think about, as Ethan did a good job in the scripture reading, as Paul stated in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in verse 13, I remember so long ago when I like to still think that I'm young, but a lot younger than I am now, reading so far removed from home, homesick, thinking about how things were going at home, reading the Bible, having a difficult time, and read this verse, and I just read it at such a good time. Notice what Paul said, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Here's something else that Paul says is common to man. What is it, Paul? The temptation. He says, again, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Sometimes we think that we are the only ones who have ever experienced what we're going through. I'm all alone in this. No one's had it as bad as I have. This verse will undo that type of thinking. No temptation taken you but such as is common to man. What you experience and go through, other people have went through it as well. So you're not all alone. Are you coming to preach? You are. You better go back to your mom. But such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Now notice what he says. Thank you. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able. Now, the truth of the matter is that though it may seem like it's very difficult to go through, other people have went through it, and God is faithful, how? Inasmuch as He will not allow more to come upon you than what you're able to bear. And also with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Other people go through things that you go through. as well, and that I'll go further. But when we have temptation, let us not turn the blame to God. And a lot of people do that. They say, God, why are you doing this to me? God, why did you make me this way? Well, don't blame God for it. But notice what the Bible says in the book of James chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. So don't say that. If you're tempted to say that I've been tempted of God, don't do that. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now God may allow things to come our way. We understand that. We go through things that are very difficult. And God never promised immunity to His people. He never promised that if you obey the gospel, that bad things will never come your way. A lot of times they do, but God is faithful. And He won't tempt us, as the Bible points out in this text. Temptation can be common to man. But also, I think about what Paul mentioned as being common in the book of Titus, chapter 1. Begin with verse 1. Titus chapter 1, and then verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. In hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in these last times, or hath in due times rather, manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now watch verse 4 for our third point. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Paul points out here that Titus was his son after the common faith. Now think about that. We live in a world today where folks say that it's a faith of your choice. That somehow you can believe and practice anything that you want to as long as you are sincere about it, but the Bible doesn't teach that. It's one of those areas that you really want to ask the question, now what did you read in the Bible that led you to that conclusion? That you can believe whatever you want to believe. You know, folks believe different things in New Testament times. Did you know that? They believed and practiced things of which they shouldn't have. And when they did, they were reprimanded because of it. Not condoned. Not given a free pass. I think about Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Here are seven churches of Christ in Asia. A lot of them, most of them, reprimanded because they did or taught, stood for that which wasn't right. The common faith. There isn't but one faith, Ephesians chapter 4 and then verse 5 says. And so if you've obeyed the gospel of Christ, that is, you have done what this book says to do. And I've done what this book says to do. We have that in common. We have that faith. We share it in common. The faith of the New Testament. The only faith that you read about on the pages of the Bible. But also in the book of Numbers, there's something that is stated to be common. Notice what the Bible says, begin with verse 28. Numbers 16, verse 28. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works. Now this was when some wanted to be rebellious. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. But he says, for I have not done them on my own hand. Sometimes along the way, folks have gotten in trouble by questioning God's leadership, God's wisdom in what He's done, His authority. If these men die, keep reading. If these men die the common death of all men, or as, in other words, as a margin of some translations say, as every man died, for if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. We're going to die. And you need to understand that. All men will die. Ecclesiastes 5:9, the living know that they shall die. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. What is your life? It's a good question, isn't it? James 4:14. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I don't know when I'm going to die. It might be sooner than I anticipate. And you don't know when you're going to die. We live in a time when a lot of folks have lost their life to this virus. I'm sure last year that they weren't planning on dying in 2020, let alone from a virus. But many folks have. I still get asked the question, it's okay to ask the question, why do you think that this virus is coming upon so many people? I don't know. But this I do know, that we are reminded of the importance of being ready. That when I die, that I'm ready to be judged when that great judgment day comes. That I might hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Those are the words I want to hear, don't you? As opposed to "depart from me." So I don't know why COVID-19. I don't know. But I want to be ready, and I want you to be ready. Last point. As we think about that which is coming, Jude 3, a passage you know so well, but you probably have never read it, thinking about that which is coming. Jude 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, now watch this, of the common salvation. Now why would he say common salvation as opposed to saying, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the salvation? He's talking about something that was mutual, that he shared in, that they had salvation. And there's only one way to obtain salvation. I mentioned it to you this morning. That is to be in Christ. That salvation is in the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:10. If you're not in Christ, you're not saved. You don't have the salvation of which he's talking about. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Someone says, "All right, preacher, the Bible says that this is a common salvation. You talked about common faith. You've mentioned the point that salvation is in Christ. This morning you talked about several things that are in Christ, being a new creature, spiritual blessings, a lot of other things. The logical question is, how does one get in Christ so that they can have salvation? Did you know that the Bible says that you are only a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus? If you're not in Christ, you're not a child of God by faith. Galatians 3:26 says that. And he goes on to say and to answer that question of how to get into Christ in verse 27, when he says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Don't ever be led astray with the thinking that says you can be a child of God by faith in Christ without ever having done what the Bible says to do to be in Christ, which is to be baptized. A lot of people today believe you're a child of God by faith in Christ before and without being baptized. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The only way to get into Christ is to be baptized. Have you been baptized? Have you obeyed the gospel? You do that by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." John 8:24. Repenting, that is turning from your sins, changing your mind about what you've been doing, and do better. As one aged preacher said, "Stop your meanness and do right, without which we'll perish," Luke 13:3-5. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37 when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's the confession that you must make. Then be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you do that, not before, not a second before, but when you do that, God will forgive you of everything you've ever committed. All your sin washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6:3-5, being added to the one body of the New Testament, the Church of Christ, Acts 2 and then verse 47. Maybe you're here tonight and you have done that. Most of you have. But you've not been faithful. You turned your back on the Lord. Sometimes that happens. It's hard sometimes to live the Christian life. Sometimes we miss the mark and fall short and give up along the way. But I'm thankful that God's made provision for our salvation, that we can come home repenting of that unfaithfulness, making confession to God in prayer, and He'll forgive us and restore us to a right relationship with Him. 1 John 1:9. If you're subject to the gospel call, come right now.